And that is wrong. That is not right. Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:8, it's not on the list, but it's there. It says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And he tells us elsewhere, he says, I am God, I lie not, and I change not. I cannot deny myself. Now, it is a fact, and I don't have time to do it today, but I can prove it with the Word of God, because of the different era that we live in, God is dealing with us different, but not because he's changed, but because humanity has changed. See, we are not any longer under what they called the law under the old covenant. Remember the Ten Commandments? Remember when Moses went to the top of Mount Sinai? And he was up there 40 days and 40 nights, and God gave him not only the Ten Commandments, but he gave him the law. You're precious. You really are.
Me or Monica?
No, you this time. Usually it's Monica, but it's you this time. Anyway, let's move on. But he gave him the law, and he gave him the Ten Commandments and a lot of ordinances that they were to live by, certain foods to eat and not eat, and certain way to dress and not dress, so on and so forth, okay? And he dealt with them a lot of times harshly because they didn't obey those laws, right? Well, and that's because they were still dark on the inside. There was not a rebirth of the human spirit. So when all those people who believed and lived in faith, they went to a place called Abraham's bosom. They went there because they could not be in the presence of God until they were born again. But then we have the substitutionary and the substitutionary work of Christ, where he identified himself with us, and in turn we were identified with him, so on and so forth. And then because of that, I thought that was a mouse coming across the floor. Anyway, let's move on. So because of the substitutionary work of Christ, now people are born again. You know, it tells us in the Bible that in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm getting to my text here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in just a minute, that it says the same that one ascended is the same one that descended, that he might give gifts unto men. And he led a train of vanquished foes to heaven with him, okay? Well, those were the saints that were in Abraham's bosom, and they were born again. And everybody now that receives Christ, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, you believe according to Romans chapter 10, that he is Lord and God raised him from the dead, then you're born again, okay? All three of us in this room were born again, no doubt about it, okay? So we know because of our testimony that was shared and because the witness we have with one another, I know Neva's saved. Even though sometimes in my head I think she's not, I know she is. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So, but anyway, that's a lie the devil will tell you a lot of times. That you're not even saved. Yeah, I am. July 12th, 1974, at 10 o'clock, you know, I shouted Jesus, 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 and I was changed on the inside. But anyway, so I have that witness. But so God hasn't changed, but how he deals with humanity has changed. So now we're under what we call the dispensation of the church or the dispensation of grace. And God, because he doesn't have to pass judgment upon people anymore, because we're not living under the law, because we're under grace, he ignores or seems to ignore and lets a lot more slide now than he did back under the law. I mean, let's just get real here, okay? If I were to reveal some things about me, which there aren't too many I'd have to reveal, but or we would just be get real, and we're not going to. We're not inviting that. We would just reveal things to us about, well, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you do that. And if that happened under the old covenant, you could get stoned. And I don't mean with marijuana either. I mean with rocks, okay? Or like Achan's sin or whatever, where you would, the earth would open up and suck you right in, you know? So anyway. So let's read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me tell you something about God, because basically why people, the title is, well, you know, I prayed but it didn't work. Or as Neva related that story about somebody she knows personally, somebody she's related to. Well, I know so-and-so prayed and they just died to be healed of cancer and they just died. And so they think they prayed in faith and yet they died. Well, and a lot of times, like I was relating this story about this sweet, precious person that I know here in Elk City who said, well, sometimes just God says no. And I see that on social media all the time. Well, sometimes God just says no, but let's just squash that toe right now. Let's look here in the Bible. Let's see what the Bible says about that. Before I read that, let me just relate this to you. You know, Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. I'm not refusing anybody. You come to me in faith and you've got it. Okay? And we know that in Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and it went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Not some of them, not most of them, not half of them, but all. So God is good. It tells us that he's good, and he healed them all. And the only caveat we would throw in there is in Luke, the fourth chapter, where he went back to Nazareth, where he grew up, and that's when he announced his ministry and opened up the book to the scrolls to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. Now, it wasn't chapters in, but it is now. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and he hath anointed me, blah, blah, blah. And then he ended it and said, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And they were all stunned, and they marveled and looked at him, and they said, look, who do you think you are? You're Jesus. You're Jesus, Joseph the carpenter's son. Actually, stepson, but they viewed him as his father. And you can't do this. And then you go on later on in the book of Luke, and they wanted to throw him off a cliff. And it says there he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. Their unbelief. Except he healed a few sickly folk, maybe a few colds and maybe a case of hay fever or something like that. Okay, you know, just a few sickly folk. But there weren't any. There may have been some eyes restored and some limbs grown back, but just a few sickly folk because of their unbelief. So let's look here what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and start reading with verse. Let's start here with verse 15. And this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. So he's wanting to make repeat visits to these Corinthians. He doesn't just want to be with them once. He wants to come back and come back and come back and come back. And we know why, because in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapters 1, 2, and 3, he told them they were still babes in Christ. So the whole books of 1 and 2 Corinthians are the milk that he said, I'd like to give you meat, but I'm going to have to give you milk. Okay, so let's read on here. Verse 17, when I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness, or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay, or yes, yes, and no, no? But as God is true, our war towards you was not yea and nay, was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Okay, so he's saying, not only I, but Silvanus and Timothy, who are a couple of who are on my staff, we're not preaching the gospel of yes and no. It's all yes. It's just all yes. There's no red lights in God. It's all green lights. It's all yes. For all the promises of God in verse 20, in him are yea, and in him amen, under the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So the promises of God are not, sometimes it's a yes, and then sometimes it's a no. Now, see, that the character of God is not double-mindedness. And that's what it says in James, that a double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord. It's like I tell people, you're better off being wrong and single-minded than double-minded and not knowing what to do. Because if you're wrong and single-minded, at least God can steer you back in the right direction. You see? You know, it says in Proverbs 21, it says, the ways of the king are before the Lord, and the Lord directs his heart the way he wants. And he says in the next verse, because he ponderous the hearts of the kings. So, just for instance, right now, the president of the United States. If that individual who claims to be the president is single-minded about what they're saying, believe it or not, even with all deception, God can get through to him because they're single-minded in purpose. But if they're going, well, what's what a lot of people suspect what's going on, that he's not actually making the decisions, and he's going and other people are saying, well, do this, no, do this, do this, do this, do that, and he doesn't really know what to do, then he's not going to receive any direction from God. But anyway, A double-minded person is unstable in his ways. So God's not double-minded, and he's not going to encourage you to be double-minded because there's no faith in that. There's always faith when the will of God is revealed, and the will of God is revealed in his word, and especially about healing. We know this from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 5, Matthew 8, 17, and 1 Peter 2, 24, that we know that if you're reading Isaiah's account, we know that it says that by his stripes we are healed. And if you read Matthew and 1 Peter's account, we know that we were healed. It's a fact, okay? It's a fact, all right? So we are healed and we were healed. So God's not going to say, well, no, that doesn't apply to you, Neva. Mm-hmm. That doesn't apply to Joe. I want him to suffer a while. Mm-hmm. No, that's not God. That's not the Lord. That's a misappropriation of a lot of things that were said in the book of Job, that he goes on saying at the end of Job that all of his three friends don't even listen to what they said. It wasn't right. It's what he says. It's in the book of Job 42. Don't listen to what they say. They were wrong. I don't care how religious it seemed and how pious it came across and how wordy and how flowery it was. And even if it was a quote, a misappropriation of certain scriptures, if it's not the will of God and it doesn't agree with the word, it's wrong. That's right. It's wrong. That's right. Okay. So now let's go here to Colossians chapter 2. So now that we squashed on that toe, that was a Monica comment this morning. We're going to squash it. Squash some toes this morning. By the way, for people wondering why I made that comment, I thought that was a mouse. Monica's over there fidgeting, messing around, and the foam gizmo, yeah, that thing, this thing right here, that thing, fell off the whatever, and it goes rolling across the floor. Of course, I see it out of the corner of my eye, and I think it's a mouse. That mouse needs to be squashed. Amen. So just like toes. So let's look here in Colossians chapter 2. And let's start reading here with verse 1. All right? Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. Now Paul says this to the Colossians. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Now I can stop right there and tell you by the next verse, it's going to prove what I'm getting ready to say. He's talking about his intercession for them, his prayer for them. Remember, we read in Ephesians, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you. He told the Galatians, he said, my children of whom I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you. And then you read in Colossians, he's got prayers. He's got prayers in Philippians. I think Paul has like a dozen of these prayers, all right, maybe even more. I've got them listed down in my prayer notebook. But anyway, but he was constantly praying for those people that they would walk in revelation and walk in the will of God. And they would understand. So that's what he's talking about here. That, and this is what I'm praying, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. What mystery? Well, the mystery he talks about in Ephesians 3 that was revealed to him. He talks about was in Galatians chapter 1 was revealed to him. The mystery that God revealed to him, that when you read his words, you'll understand. The mystery of Christ that was revealed in Paul's letters. I say it every time. You got to have Paul's flashlight, and it got to shine it on the rest of the Bible, and then it's no longer a mystery. You understand, okay? Said, and let's go on in verse 3, in whom were hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you or deceive you with enticing words. Now, a lot of times we want to think of something like that, like kind of like the image we have that's given to us by the media of the devil. Hey, kid, you want some candy? You know, kind of like that. But all you got to do is go back to the garden and how the devil, he approached Eve. Did you know, Monica, that in the garden there wasn't any questions until the devil showed up?